I don't care what anybody says. That is by far the best NFL music. That's the one I always sing. Every time I hear that, that gets me hyped for NFL. I don't know about you. That is the one.
No, yeah, I think you know my favorite. I think I've got a little soft spot for a bit of Carrie Underwood. So I like a bit of NBC, a little bit of NBC Sunday Night Football. But yeah, this is definitely up there though.
Actually, do a high note that you like doing. Oh my god, hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play podcast. Clearly it's pretty evident we're talking about NFL, week 8 of the NFL. I'll just quickly run through the scores. Obviously all Australian time, so the first game was on Friday morning. The Falcons, you know, this time finishing an actual game, winning 25-17. Yeah. The Bills nipping the Patriots 24-21. The Bengals.
Oh, my God.
The Bengals beating the Titans 31-20. The Raiders beating the Browns 16-6. The Colts beating the Lions 41-21. A big upset. Vikings beating the Packers 28-22. My God, that was an upset.
Who saw that coming? There's only one man that I know of that's seen that coming, and that is ex-Le Champion Chris Jericho. It's the only man that I've seen that did NFL tips this week that's seen that one coming.
Wow. Everyone saw this one coming. The Jets losing to the Chiefs 35-9. The Dolphins, first tour start, beating the Rams 28-17. That's another one I didn't think was going to happen. Steelers still unbeaten, beating the Ravens 28-24. The Broncos are again just pipping the Chargers 31-30. The Saints just getting over the Bears in OT 26-23. The Seahawks taking care of business on the 49ers 37-27, but you know, 49ers are still decimated. The Eagles beating the Cowboys 23-9. That's, you know, decimation, you know, plus, but we'll get into that later. And the Tuesday game was the Buccaneers. Like, oh man, the Giants were just, they were in that for the whole game, but they just got beaten.
Man, that was a game that there's a few games, I guess, that you didn't really expect, but you know, the Buccaneers were a double digit favorite in that game.
Yeah, the line was pretty huge, wasn't it? I think it was like 11 and a half.
I'm pretty sure the line last time I checked was 12 and a half.
Well, we'll start on that game. I mean, God, the Giants just defensively got off to a great start.
Yeah, and I think it was just the little bit of a culmination of both. I think it was that the both teams sort of looked not so much ordinary in offense. The Giants' defense was giving their offense a short field to work with, so Daniel Jones didn't really have to do a whole lot to sort of get those couple of scores. But Tom Brady just sort of, I don't know, he looked a little shook, I think, at just throughout that first half. He got hit a few times. He got sacked a few times, and you see him sort of come off. There was one time he comes off and he starts bashing his helmet up against the bench that he was sitting on. And just, I thought it was a little frustrated with how the offensive line was sort of performing a bit. But, look, yeah, it took him a little while to get rolling.
Yeah. He just has a, you know, New York Giants is just his bogey team. I mean, yes, he won the game, but God, he can get real shaky against New York Giants. So, you know, he did
beat that generally only happens in the Super Bowl with Good Eli point. Manning.
Do you think, just with Brady, so when I seen that, and obviously he's doing it a couple of times this year, like they're 6-2 at the moment. Is Brady just taking this too personally? Like, I've never seen this much emotion from him when he was at the Pats.
No, exactly. I think there was a lot of suppressed emotions, frustration, okay. Whether it's, you know, whether it's exhilaration for him, like you just see, you know, when they're winning and winning well, you see a lot of, you know, a lot of elation on his face. Like he's having fun.
Yeah, that's right.
And when, you know, that's what I mean. Yeah, he got hit a few times. He got sacked twice. I think, but I'm pretty sure both sacks were pretty brutal on him too. Like they just, the defense just swallowed him up.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, just spat him out the other end. But, I guess it's well, what is he, 43, 42, 43? Like nobody wants to get hit by, you know, 260-pound giants coming at you that have just got a taste, you know, a taste for a Buccaneers jersey. Like nobody wants to get hit by that.
No, that's right. What did you think of Golden Tate, or that sort of trick pass they did where Daniel Jones threw it to Golden Tate, and then Golden Tate sort of threw it then to the other side, and they like basically like a screen sort of play, a screen play.
Yeah,
cool. That was awesome.
Yeah,
there was a few
sort of trick plays that come out this week. Yeah, like even in the Falcons Carolina game, we see the old flea flicker, and yeah, we had fake punts and there was all sorts of trickery being done this week. But yeah, that was an unbelievable play. Like Golden Tate was involved in this game in key moments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he got a touchdown. Yeah, look, only caught 2 out of 3 targets, 31 yards. But yeah, you're right. In key moments,
he catches the touchdown, you know, at the end of the game where the Giants essentially have to go for that 2-point conversion to tie everything up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you see him go to the camera and look at the camera. Pass me the ball. Pass me the ball. So yeah, I think he was a little shirty at Sterling Shepard. And not to say that he's not worthy of getting the ball, but you know, Evan Ingram actually caught some nice passes in this game as well. Sterling Shepard had 8 receptions. Slayton, that they've got. They've got some decent weapons to sort of throw to there at the Giants, but you just there's just that those periods in the game where you think that the Giants are starting to get a roll on, and then boom, Daniel Jones throws an interception. You're just like, man, he's saying on the broadcast, he's just not learning. He's got to learn to throw the ball away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I feel like he likes. You know, just because he's 23 and all, I feel like he doesn't learn. It's like he's fine taking the sack. He's not learning just to throw the ball away when you clearly just, can.
That's so, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as well. On the other side, it looks like Brady's boy Gronk sort of back. He got 4 out of 4 touchdown of 41 yards. Like he's having a few consistent weeks there, which I'm personally.
I knew this was going to happen. It was going to take a little while, but I knew this was going to happen, and just
I'm personally not happy because I traded into you and you said this exact thing, and I said I don't need him, and then look what happens. He plays good in the last couple of weeks. Son of a bitch. You said exactly the same thing. I went, oh,
I told you, man. I told you.
No, yeah, you were correct. I guess I put too much. This is your Mike Evans of the world and all that. I guess I just put too much. Well, everybody put too much stock into them because of how they played last year with Jameis Winston. But
that's right. But they've also Chris Godwin's been hurt most of this year. I think he's only played 2-3 games this year. So you know they're getting Antonio Brown this up and coming week, and. Yeah, I know it's Tom Brady and it's a Bruce Arians offense, but there's only one football, and how long is it going to take for Antonio Brown to get a little shirty, a la I think Odell Beckham Jr. by not getting his fair share of A targets and B receptions?
I think it's hard to say, but if you look at Brady over the years, there yet like before. Yeah, they said he had no targets, but he's the kind of quarterback that likes sharing the ball around. He doesn't like
to let you know. He can still get you the ball. That's the thing. Like he can still
get he'll get you the ball, but he doesn't have to go to that one like a Michael Thomas target. He doesn't just have to go to Michael Thomas. You know, he can find the ball to anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. And if you look through the receiving core
of that game. You know, no one got over 100 yards. It was all, you know, 20 to 50 yards. It was all spread pretty evenly. Like, even Ronald Jones, the second, got 23 yards. So, yeah, that's just Brady.
They're still using Scotty Miller. So it's gonna be those guys. Tyler Johnson, like, it's gonna be those guys whose workload gets extremely cut down for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. I don't know. He's getting older in the tooth, you know. I don't know if he can clearly recapture what he did at Pittsburgh, but yeah, I don't know.
I think that'll be the same thing. It's going to take him a few weeks now to get adjusted, and he's going to have to fit this offensive system. And it's just, I don't know, I just want to wait and see, you know, if he is a bit of a ticking time bomb until he starts getting a little bit, you know, a little bit shirty, at, you know, not getting his, you know, getting his fair share of targets.
Move on to your boys. I mean, literally, it was a good game to watch, actually, but just beating the Bears in overtime. Forever. Yeah.
That fourth quarter and overtime went forever.
Yeah, it was a weird old game. It was one of those games where I honestly, it could have went any way. It didn't look like the Saints were going to win. It didn't look like the Bears were going to win for a while there. So
to say that the Bears sort of looked a little inept offensively, I think the Saints inside the red zone looked just as inept in getting touchdowns. You know, it essentially took them until 3 seconds before halftime to score a touchdown. It was not so much a dire sort of first half, but it just, yeah, a very sort of unthrilling first half. And then both defensively.
Yeah. Oh, but even like the Saints defense, you know, getting 5 sacks on Foles. Foles had a terrible game, really. If you really
that's probably his worst start, I think, since becoming the starter there at Chicago. But it's like you said, it looked like Montgomery was actually starting to get going on the run game in that first half. He had nine rushes for 66 yards. But they absolutely stuffed him in the second half. He ended with 21 rushes and only 89 yards.
Yeah.
So they absolutely just stuffed him in the second half.
Yeah.
So, and then once again, that's another week that goes by. I think this is week 43 now of the Saints not allowing a 100-yard rusher. So, you know, that streak sort of keeps intact. Once again, the touchdown to Allen Robinson was two plays and 74 yards.
Yeah.
It was a 50 yard reception before the 24 yard reception for a touchdown for Allen Robinson. You just beat your head up against the wall. You just like, they just keep allowing these big chunk plays, and if they can eliminate those, then they'll be. Yeah, they're right back in the mix. You know, they're 5-2, I guess, half a game behind Tampa, but they go head to head next week on Sunday Night Football. So Saints, too many field goals. When they got in the red zone, too many field goals. Not enough weapon, and to say not enough go to get them any touchdowns Jared Cook. Like, do you know what I mean? The second touchdown was a Taysom Hill catch.
He's quick. He's so quick.
He's a brick, eh? He is just an absolute brick. I thought one thing that was a little bit funny out of that game too. Like the very first, it was a bit of a chip shot. I'm pretty sure it was in the first quarter, for Will Lutz. He'd missed, I think, he'd made like 26 or 27 field goals in a row inside 50 yards, and he misses like a 31 yard chip shot, and they showed the replay, and Thomas Morstead, who's the punter, but he's also the holder for the place kicks, did a little bit of Dan Marino in Ace Ventura and had the laces in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did. Will Lutz did a bit of a bit of a Ray Finkel.
Yeah, a bit of a Ray Finkel. Wow. Ray Finkel. Oh, I haven't heard that for ages. That's so good. Oh, my God. Ray Finkel.
A little bit of Dan Marino. The laces were in.
The laces were in.
In. They were in.
How good is your boy Kamara? He's just, you know. It's obviously not the rushing guy he is, but goddamn, he can still catch a ball.
You think that Taysom Hill is the quintessential Swiss Army knife, and he is, but oh man, like Kamara's just he really is he's unbelievable. I think has he got the most or the second most yards from scrimmage this year?
I've got a funny feeling
he's number one from yards from scrimmage.
Yards from scrimmage. I don't think. Oh, mate, possibly he is.
I think it's yeah. It's he hasn't. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's combination. It's combination yards. It's total yards from scrimmage.
Yeah. Okay. It's mind boggling. Just what he's been doing. It's crazy. I honestly don't get. You know. Well, it's probably really down to Drew Brees. I mean, I know he can run, but you know, to get he's not a big like in terms of like height, he's not a big running back.
No, he's not that large in stature. I think he's about 6 foot or 6 foot one. I think so. He's just
like his last five games.
He's just a machine.
His last five games, he's got 410 yards for 41 carries and 336. Reception yards for 61 attempts. So that's the last five games. You know, it's projected he could nearly be on track to do 1,000. If it's going on this projection in front of me.
Christian McCaffrey done it last year, didn't he?
Yeah, I just didn't think Kamara had it in him to be completely honest.
I'm pretty sure his rookie season he come close to being 1,000.
Oh, okay.
In 2017, I'm pretty sure he was close to being 1,000 in his rookie season.
Yeah, okay.
Yet you still can't stop him. I guess we'll sort of get into the Javon Wims little brain snapper a little bit later in Studs and Duds of the Week. I can only assume that we'll talk about that then.
Yeah, that was, I mean, yeah. We said before we got on, it's pretty easy to pick a stud and a dud of the week. Everybody can pick it before they even listen if you wrote it down in the comment section.
It essentially, after he does that, it essentially like sabotages the Bears game straight away because the very next play, because Chicago still had the ball, he gets ejected.
Yeah, Chicago's we'll talk about it very later next because play, you can see why he did it. Throws
an interception.
You know why he did it, but we'll talk about it later.
It's all hearsay. Where's the evidence?
Oh, there is evidence.
There's evidence. With Gardner Johnson and Allen Robinson. But that's for them to work out.
That's
for them to work.
The Steelers, still undefeated, beating the Ravens 28-24. I mean, there's just a team to me that, for this is the Steelers at least, it's their defense because there's just a team that's just with points wise, they're just getting it done, literally.
Their defense absolutely kept them in this game, absolutely kept them in this game.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, you know, TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick's on fire. No one
is on fire last year.
Yeah, he was That was the only one for me that was weird. Like, you trade away a very good cornerback, and then you pick up, you know, you spend like $90 million on Byron Jones. I didn't get that one. That was the only one I didn't get in terms of.
I guess he was a little unhappy there. He didn't want to wait a year. Like, you know, the Miami season has really turned around. And I guess Minkah Fitzpatrick was a little unhappy there, and the way I think a lot of it was the way he was used too. I think he was sort of chopped and changed a lot, you know, playing a lot of free safety, You know, playing safety, playing cornerback. I think he wanted to be, you know, sort of locked down one of those safety spots rather than being sort of thrown all over the field and not having that little bit of consistency. And that's what he's getting, at Pittsburgh.
I mean, look, offensively, they're not too bad. They've got weapons, you know. Smith-Schuster looks like he's starting to play the way he did a couple of years ago, at least. Like, he's starting to come into some sort of form. And, look, you know, that pickup of Eric Ebron on the if that was free agency, I believe. Or was that an actual trade? Yeah, I think it was free agency.
No, that was they picked him up from Indianapolis. That was a super pickup for them. You know, they had a couple of big tight ends there last year in Jesse James and Vance McDonald. I think Jesse James has gone. I think he's at Detroit now. And I think Vance McDonald's hurt, so I'll have to double check with that. But he doesn't seem to show up a whole lot. Yeah, Eric Ebron is definitely the number one tight end there.
Yeah.
What was sort of funny to me was Pittsburgh has the number one rushing defense in the league, yet Baltimore rushes 47 times and rushes for 265 yards.
Yeah,
like they just stomped all over him in the run game, and they just couldn't be stopped. Like J.K. Dobbins was terrific.
I agree.
113 yards. Yeah, even Lamar Jackson. Like it, they're so worried about Lamar Jackson and what he can do in the run game. Yeah, they're just it really takes you out of your rhythm a little bit, and it leaves holes open for everywhere.
Because they're not setting up. To me, it looks like they're not setting up so much for that blitz or anything, because they're so worried about Jackson, they'll just sort of hang back a little bit.
No, that's right.
Right. 47 for 265.
Against the best rushing defense in the league, like that's amazing.
J.K. Dobbins, that was his first 100 yard game. So, I'm not skeptical. I'm still trying to think of the word where you sort of, I'm not completely sold on him just yet. I mean, just to wait and see. No, J.K. Dobbins.
Oh yeah, that's I think that was just one of those games where it was one of those cash in games where they've got the run and the rush game going, so they just kept going to him.
That's exactly right. People just get so hyped up on these running backs and wide receivers because they're offensive players but they go in the second round. If they go in the second round, they're obviously not great enough to go in the first round, regardless of what teams need. You know, you have first round running backs and wide receivers. So, I'm not completely sold on him just yet. Not yet.
Oh,
anyway.
You can always find gems.
Yeah, I agree.
In your later rounds, Calvin Kamara's a third round pick.
Oh, Brady's a sixth round pick. I'm not saying that at all. I just wait and see. I mean, his biggest problem getting drafted there, and I get why the Ravens did it, but his biggest problem is that his quarterback can rush just as much as him, if not more.
No, that's
so
right.
That's his biggest problem.
And they've got Mark Ingram there as well, who's sort of the veteran running back there. He's been hurt the last couple of weeks, but he's that veteran sort of running back there. So I could only assume that when he comes back and healthy, that he will get most of those running back type rushes.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of rushes, if we move on to the next game, the Dolphins beating the Rams. It was a weird old game. I guess, look, Tua didn't play bad. I mean,
he wasn't asked to do much, and that's right. A good thing, I think, like for his first start.
They got the bulk of their points from field goals, clearly. They got four out of four for Sanders, so that, you know, that's 12 points already. But you're right, he just did just enough to sort of relevant in the game, excuse me. So, I mean, he didn't have the greatest passing, 93 yards isn't great, but
He didn't have to. Like they had they had that second quarter just scoring blitz of, you know, of a 78-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Yeah. You know, that then pretty much on the next series that the Dolphins had after Goff looked, how does Goff have 355 yards to throw for 61 times and he looked awful?
He looked awful because, you know, it was nearly, if you add them up, it was nearly, he threw double of what was actually sort of caught. So that's why he looked awful. So it just.
That Miami defense just, and it's funny too, I guess you don't sort of really associate, you know, the Dolphins with stifling defense or anything, but they're the number one, you know, scoring points, you know, points against at the moment. They've only allowed 100 points allowed. They're number one in the league. They've only allowed 130 points.
Yeah. They have a very good
tough team to score on.
They have a very good defensive side. I think that's what they spent a lot of their money on when they had that free agency slash funds.
That's right. And don't worry, they've got plenty more coming too. Next year is going to be, I guess, if they could, well, their pick's probably not going to be too high if they sort of get that mid first round pick, but their pick that they're going to get from the Texans could be very high.
Well, that was the whole reason. I sort of thought this was going to be the reason, and then it sort of, I guess, in a roundabout way, it was confirmed. That was the whole reason they wanted to start Tua, to see, basically go, okay, we're going to, by the looks, draft pick with the Texans. So they wanted to see if they're going to have the draft stock of getting a, you know, there's a couple of decent quarterbacks. So with Tua, like he couldn't see over that offensive line a lot of the time. No, it was crazy.
No, he's stout, that's for sure. But like we said, you know, he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. You know, only 12 completions. You know, Gaskin had 18 carries, but only had 47 yards. That's, I mean, they had that scoring blitz. You know, in the second quarter. No scores in the third quarter, and then it was just basically LA having to throw the ball everywhere and anywhere because they've got to try and make these points up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they did throw it. I mean, your boy, I think you've got him in nearly every league. Cooper Kupp, you know, getting 110 yards, 11 of 20 carries. I'm pretty sure you've got him in every league that I've seen. You've got
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, because he's consistent.
He's top receiver.
He's consistent. I think, yes, Aaron Donald had one sack, but I thought he didn't really disrupt the defense. The offense of the Dolphins that much. Like that's what we were for.
I guess
was
that would have been, you know, a big talking point at Dolphins training all week. Yeah. Like if this is the game that you guys have absolutely got to step up and help out a young quarterback, because Aaron Donald is just going to think that's a big drumstick running around out there with arms and a football. So you have to help him out. They did. There was a lot of double teams on Aaron Donald, and I think that's the way you've got to do it. But yeah, they absolutely held their own in protecting Tua. And That's, you know, we sort of said last week that I thought it was, just being thrown to the proverbial wolves in, you know, in Aaron Donald coming after him in his first start. And they dodged a bullet.
They did. And then, like, 4-3 is not too bad. Like, for, you know, I don't think they had the decidedly high expectations going into this season. So they're not doing terribly bad. And you know, that's you know, not just Tua, or not even Tua at all, to say, you know, that's, you know, Fitzmagic defense, because their offensive completely great, or not yet anyway, but their defense, and
I guess whether or not it was a little bit of nerve or not too, but he had Tua's first pass attempt ended up being a hit arm and then a fumble, so
yeah,
that probably wouldn't have done his confidence much good to start the game, but that's it was a stellar defensive effort you know, by the Dolphins, and that's what you would associate a little bit more with the LA Rams than what you would the Miami Dolphins. But I guess they sort of flipped the script on them a little bit, and you know, and did did what needed to be done offensively, and yeah, special teams, you know, two big special teams plays for 14 points. So
that's
what you've got to get that little bit of element of luck in these types of games to get the W.
And next week he's going up against another young, well, not rookie, but another young player in Kyler Murray. So that'll be, you know, two small guys going against each other. That'll be very interesting.
You'd hope that Tua, give him a couple of weeks to get into the groove of, you know, how fast the NFL is compared to college ball. I think by the end of the year, even give him a month.
Yeah.
And I think that the Dolphins game will expand a hell of a lot.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
You know, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, guys like that, even
Gaskin,
Gesicki, those guys like that, they're going to be prominent in that offense.
Well, speaking of offense, the next game I want to talk about, the Vikings upsetting the Packers 28-22, but like the 99% of those points went to Mr. Dalvin Cook, who just come back from injury too, and just, my God, that guy. I have no idea what to say, because he did everything.
Just the Dalvin Cook show. Like we're just saying that Tua in his first game as a rookie his first start as a rookie completes 12 passes. Kirk Cousins completed 11.
Yeah, that's right.
He just didn't need to do anything.
It was 11 out of 14. So it's not like he was consistent enough. He didn't need to do nothing.
When you get 30 carries out of Dalvin Cook.
And then he got the most. Oh my God! I just want to touch on the upset. But you know, we'll talk about Dalvin Cook later. I mean, for obvious reasons, like we said, easy studs and duds of the week.
Easy studs and duds this week.
I think their defense did well. They only got one sack, but their defense did well enough to keep Aaron Rodgers at bay, is what I sort of found in that game, especially Devontae Adams. Yes, don't get me wrong. I know he got 3 touchdowns, but, you know, he didn't get a lot of those sort of long bomb passes that he's used to getting in, you know, from Rodgers to Devontae Adams. They sort of shut that secondary down pretty well, I thought.
No, that's right. Yeah, he just sort of, I guess, yeah, had a little bit of trouble getting into the backfield. 11 targets, 7 receptions, but his longest reception was only 15 yards. So that's something, I guess, not so much you don't really associate, with Green Bay and especially Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams, like, you know, that they like to break off those big chunk plays as well. They just got, especially in that, I think it was in the end of the second, start of the third, might have been the third quarter, So at the end of the second quarter, and yeah, two touchdowns in the third quarter just like smacked Green Bay right in the mouth.
Yeah. And I mean, I know everyone talks about the, you know, Aaron needs another wide receiver. We'll talk about trade deadline later, but. Man, I don't know. I think their defense is a bit.
What's to talk about in the trade deadline? Nothing happened.
Well, probably not much to talk about. But I know they were, you know, they wanted a wide receiver to go to Green Bay and all that. But I think their defense is a bit leaky. I think they have the right weapons. You know, there's also, you know, Aaron Jones is still injured and yet to come back. So, yeah. You know, that Williams,
Alan Lazard has been out for the last few weeks as well.
Yeah, and that's right.
I guess that's sort of. They're not the known names there at Green Bay at the wide receiver position, but it's Aaron Rodgers. It's like Tom Brady. He's going to get you the ball. Like you've got to trust in the systems that are put in place and trust in the offensive playbook, and you run the right routes, and Aaron Rodgers is going to get you the ball.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's not much else to talk about except for Dalvin Cook, but we'll talk about him later. So maybe move on to another game. Just Dalvin Cook was just, I mean, he nearly got 50 fantasy points, which is, you know, unheard of in fantasy land.
That's insane.
So, The next game, well, I think there's two more I want to talk about. The next with the Bengals upsetting the Titans, Joe Burrow getting his second win. He's consistent. Like, you know, yes, he's still getting he didn't get sacked this game, but he's been consistently getting smashed. But
he's been getting hit a lot. Not as much as Carson Wentz, but he's been getting hit a lot.
He's a good player. He didn't get sacked in this game, which is great. And he's gone to his ever reliable, who I picked up on every league, Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd's been fantastic for the Bengals this year. He's been their first wide receiver.
And they've also got a good backup running back there in Bernard as well, who's taken the spot over the last, I guess, couple of years that Joe Mixon's been there. And he's always been that sort of secondary running back. Yeah, Joe Mixon sort of had his history of injuries, not so much long-term injuries, but, you know, a game here, a game there. There's always opportunities for Giovanni Bernard. But look, that was probably one of the more stunning upsets, I think. Like, you know, obviously Minnesota over Green Bay was pretty big, but I just did not see. That's two losses on the trot now for the Titans.
Yeah.
They were rolling throughout this season early, and yeah, they've just sort of hit, you know, a little bit of a speed bump over the last couple of games. So
I think what they did well, this is the Bengals, I think they shut AJ Brown down very well, because he was getting on a bit of a roll in the last sort of few weeks. I mean, yeah, he got a touchdown, but he was pretty much swallowed up generally that entire game. So then they end up looking at Corey Davis.
He's been on the IR for most of this season, so he's sort of still getting his legs under him a little bit as well. So if you can keep Tannehill in check, keep that keep that play action in check, you know, the fake handoffs to Derrick Henry, you keep that in check, keep him in the pocket, then you know you're going to go a long way to securing the win. But for them to put up 31 points was terrific.
No, it really was. Like you said, that, you know, Bernard seems to be. I mean, when is Joe Mixon coming back this year? I didn't even look, but I was just wondering.
He is. I think he's only out for another one, maybe two more weeks. Like he just seems to pick up those knocks every now and then where he'll miss one or two games here and there, and it just sort of. You'd like to see him stay on the field a bit more, because I got a bit of a soft spot for Joe Mixon. I like him as well. If he can sort of stay healthy and consistent, then he'll be that number one, you know, good running back there for Cincinnati going into the future, because he's still only young.
Final game, you know, speaking of second wins, that I wanted to talk about was the Falcons beating the Panthers. So I guess just for the pure fact that Falcons actually, you know, shut out Panthers in that fourth quarter, which they haven't done to any team this year. They only got two rushing touchdowns, so there was no actual receiving touchdowns. But again, it really doesn't make a difference.
But
as long as you get the W.
No, Leo Jones was cooking in this game.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah, he was. He looked terrific. He was back to his best.
I thought the whole receiving core was fine. Like Ridley, you know, they all the 3 out of 4 for 42. Hayden Hurst, you know, their explosive tight end, 5 for 7 out of 54. The receiving core isn't terrible, really.
It's defensively, and if they can sort of get a little bit, not to say get a little bit more, they've got to squeeze a little bit more juice, I think, out of Todd Gurley.
I agree.
He's getting the carries, like he had 18, but he only had 46 rush yards. Like they need to squeeze that orange a little bit more and try and get a little bit out of it to sort of make them, more of an offensive threat. The type of game that they want to play, like we'll just outscore you, because we've got two unbelievable wide receivers in Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. But it just, yeah, they looked, I think they looked fairly good. Teddy Bridgewater looked a little bit ordinary. He got hit definitely. Pretty hard on a sack and went out for a couple of series. And PJ Walker come in, who I'm pretty sure is an ex-XFL quarterback from last year. So he come in, he looked pretty inept, I guess. But they're lucky to sort of get Bridgewater back. But Atlanta's defense really shut Carolina down.
Yes.
I think that was probably their sort of best defensive effort. But not so much their best all round effort, but yeah, you know, getting their best defensive effort of the year.
Yeah.
And it just and the thing was too, like, because they had a decent rush game sort of going, they kept the ball away from Carolina as well. Like, time of possession was pretty lopsided to Atlanta's way. You know, in that game, yeah, 36 minutes time of possession as opposed to 23. So, yeah, you keep Carolina off the field, and not to say that they're the most dangerous offensive squad that's going around, but you'll do your best keeping the other offense off the field.
I mean, fortunately, this week it looks like they'll have Christian McCaffrey back, so that's probably going to change a lot of things. Just to see, I guess, that connection that he'll have with Bridgewater, because he only really had that one game. Is it one game I think he had with Bridgewater before he got injured? I think it was only one, or one, well, maybe two. No, it might have been just the one, actually.
I think McCaffrey's played, because he played two games?
Yeah, well, maybe played probably one full game with him, and then he got injured in the second, so maybe that was it. So, so that'll be, I guess, a lot better for the Panthers, who are 3-5, you know, they're not out of it, I suppose. You know,
but the NFC South is tough. Like, this game, somebody essentially had to lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, Carolina being 3-5, Atlanta getting their second win of the season at 2-6. But, you know, the top of the tree in the NFC South is obviously the Tampa. They're 6-2, and New Orleans are 5-2.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, and that's obviously going to change. This coming week, like we sort of said before, that it's the Bucs and the Saints coming up this week. So, and it's in Tampa. So, you know, that first game that they played at the start of the year, like, Tampa just didn't look very good offensively, and New Orleans did enough to get the win. But now, you know, Tampa looks like they're really starting to get in their groove offensively. And I think that they are going to be a major handful for the Saints. I think the Saints are going to get scorched defensively. They're going to have to try. They've just got to hope like hell that Michael Thomas is back this week.
Yes, that's exactly the 100%. They need him back.
Otherwise, like, Tampa's defense at the moment is playing lights out.
Yeah,
and I think they'll really shut down. Whether you can shut down Alvin Kamara in the form that he's in this year, but if they shut down everybody else, then that's going to make it really tough for Drew Brees and the Saints, especially, you know, that Brees hasn't really had the biggest of arms this year. So their big, long, explosive plays are going to be very limited, and Tampa's are going to be everywhere.
That was all the games that I sort of wanted to touch on. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we move on?
Look, I think the Buffalo-New England game was, you know, that was a game that was on TV. Look, to say not so much you have to talk about it, just purely, you know, Buffalo is looking really good this year, and New England are sort of slumping fairly badly. I think they've lost five on the trot now.
They have.
But the funny thing is, this is the first time in 9 years that the Buffalo have beaten New England at their home stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, I heard that.
That's just unbelievable. New England's lost four on the trot, not five on the trot. They've lost four on the trot, and I'm pretty sure that's the first time they've done that since. I'm just trying to think back when they started Tom Brady, 2000 or 2001, when Drew Bledsoe went down, and they sort of had to bring Brady in. And they didn't look very good in that first season. I think they might have lost three or four on the trot then, but they haven't done it since then. So that franchise to be in a little bit of a sinkhole full of quicksand at the moment is a little. Oh, that, yeah. Bill Belichick has come out and said, "Yeah, we basically sold out." And what are you meant to do? They've been in how many Super Bowls over the last 5 years?
I don't know how much I believe that, because if they really sold out, you know, that to me they would have a lot better offensive potency. Look, their defense is phenomenal. Like that was the reason they sort of got to a lot of Super Bowls. I just think offensively.
The thing, like they've got a lot of guys that actually, you know, boycotted this season, or well, not boycotted, but do you know what I mean? Like that have left them in the lurch a little bit this year. Not playing just due to COVID reasons. Injuries have hurt them a fair bit. They had a great final drive in the fourth quarter. New England did, and everything was going their way. Newton was hitting everything. They were getting a lot of rush yards out of it, and it got down to they're only down three. It was 24-21, and there's 31 seconds left. So I get it. They're trying to run the clock down. Buffalo doesn't have any more timeouts left, so all they're trying to do is just run the clock down so they get into a decent field goal range so they can, I guess, kick a field goal. Either take it to overtime or maybe try and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And the Cam Newton fumble.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. I could not believe what had happened when everybody just went stacks on for the ball. It's just like, no way Cam just fumbled that. And that essentially ended the game.
And he was in shotgun mode too. That Zimmer really got to him. You know, that's not easy to get to a player that's in shotgun, so, you know, especially with the protection he should have.
It was a decent sort of run to the outside on the left a little bit, and once he got sort of past the line of scrimmage, and then Justin Zimmer to come in and just punch the ball out.
Yeah. So you're right. Then essentially, obviously, then shut the game down for him. They just kept kneeling, obviously, because that's all they had to do.
That was it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure nobody had any timeouts left.
In the end, I think. Patriots still had two timeouts, so, but it wouldn't have mattered because even though when he took the two knees, he still got a third and 11, so, yeah, wouldn't have mattered anyway.
It was just such an unreal play to sort of end the game, and it's like, wow, they were just driving so well on that final drive to get into the Buffalo red zone, and for that to happen, it's a bit of a heartbreaker, I guess. Like, you know, Cam Newton, not at his best. You know, there was no receiving touchdowns, in that game. So it was a bit not the prettiest game to watch, but for AFC East implications and just the way that New England are sort of, like I said, you know, sort of sinking into that quicksand at the moment, and Belichick is adamant that he is just going to keep pressing forward with Cam Newton at quarterback. So he's putting the faith and the trust in him.
Well, if that was the end of the game, it's just a segue into then trade sort of that trade deadline. That was the one sort of move. I mean, there's a few moves. It wasn't like there wasn't world beating players that moved around, like it was just sort of saying, but they did pick up a wide receiver, Isaiah Ford, from the Dolphins. So, I mean, they really had to. They had Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry still injured or battling injuries. So, it just needed someone else to help Cam Newton. So, that's how I sort of took that. They only had to give up a seventh for it. So, he's not a great wide receiver by any stretch of the imagination. But I guess I
can only assume that he must be better than what they've got on their practice squad at the moment that they were trying to bring in. So, that's all that they can really do. There was, sort of rumors and stuff like that sort of floating around that New England were searching for suitors for Stephon Gilmore, and they wanted a player and a first round pick, and nothing sort of really eventuated there. So, whether or not the price is too steep, which it probably isn't, it just it just didn't eventuate. I don't think there was any real serious offers for Stephon Gilmore.
Nah, well, I mean, he's 32 now, I think. Not that, you know, don't get me wrong, that's not old. I'm not saying that at all. But in NFL years,
I think he's 30 odd.
Okay. Yeah, so he's in the 30s. I don't know if that's a bit rich. I think he's deserved of a player swap, and probably I don't know if a first round and a player swap is just a little bit too rich, I think. So.
It just depends on who the player is, I guess.
Just on that sort of trade that I just said before, that was one of those rare. Adam Schefter put this out there. That was one of those very, very rare interdivision trades you don't usually see between divisions. So,
no, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And especially teams trying to help out the New England Patriots. That doesn't normally happen.
What are you talking about? It seems like every time there was a trade, I remember the years ago, it's like they just fell to New England all the time. It just seemed like that, at least, anyway.
Yeah, but not interdivisional.
Not interdivisional. No, no, definitely not. Speaking of the Dolphins, they acquired, like, their 19th running back in DeAndre Washington from the Kansas City Chiefs.
He wasn't going to get any snaps there.
Well, that's right. Yeah, no, that's clearly he wasn't. You know, once Le'Veon Bell went there, he sort of, his writing was on the wall. I guess they just added death because it looked like, I mean, looks like Jordan Howard that they picked up in free agency is an absolute dud. So, you know, Gaskin's been playing the good this year as well. So
I guess a bit of a bust. Like, I guess they're sort of the same thing. But yeah, that a lot of their faith is gone into Myles Gaskin. You know, with their run game. So they're just not pursuing anything with Jordan Howard at the moment.
I mean, there's not really looking through it. It was sort of back in end of October where, you know, we talked about Yannick Ngakoue getting traded to the Baltimore Ravens from Minnesota. Sorry, there wasn't a lot of like you said, that it was kind of a boring sort of trade deadline, wasn't it?
It's not like an
NBA trade deadline.
This could have been, you know, there could have been game changers, you know, all over the place. Like there's. But, you think that's, I mean, you think about Green Bay, what can they do, you know, to try and bolster up, you know, their wide receiving core? There was, you know, rumors around that, you know, a tight end for Cleveland, David Njoku, was sort of unhappy at the start of the year, and then he backpedaled, and I think they might have sort of still been shopping him around a little bit, and there was no serious offers that come in for him.
Yeah.
The Saints made a little bit of a difference, well, not so much a difference maker, but at least the guy who's going to be actually playing. They made a deal with the 49ers and got Quan Alexander and sent Kiko Alonso, who's actually hurt at the moment, in a fifth round pick to San Francisco. So like that's at least Alexander's going to be able to play now. Like Kiko Alonso, I think he tore his ACL during the playoffs last year for the Saints, so that was a little disappointing because he was starting to actually look really good for New Orleans at the end of last year. I think he's a former Miami Dolphin, so sort of sent him over to the 49ers. What he can't help the 49ers at the moment. You know, they've got two more high profile injuries for them this week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right, George. So George Kittle, well, it depends what you read. So he's got a foot fracture. I'm not saying what you read of the injury, but it depends on how long you think he's going to be out. Like, initial report said 6 weeks. Doctors are saying 6 weeks. And that's what the coach thinks, at 6 weeks. If you're George Kittle thinks he's only got 2 weeks out and he's back on the field. So
I heard 8 weeks and he could be back for maybe the final – the final week, and who's to say they're even going to be anywhere near close to being a playoff team now?
Well, George thinks he's got he's only going to miss 2 games. Once your player's on IR, but they've done the courses up and placed him on IR, you have to miss. The rule is you miss 3 games. So that's
at least
the rule.
It's at least 3 weeks.
3 games. Yeah. So you know, if he's back in 3 weeks, that'll be absolutely ridiculous. There's probably no point if they're going to lose the next 3 games.
Well, if they lose the next 3 games, then they're out of the playoffs.
I thought going off Will Fuller the Force tweet, I thought he must have thought he was possibly going to get moved because he had one of those shrug emojis. Like, I think people were probably asking him to go to the Packers, or at least
I think I think there was a lot of rumors floating around that he was going to be a prime target for Green Bay, but didn't end up moving. That's a little bit funny, but yeah, the Niners losing Jimmy G as well with that high ankle sprain for the next 6 weeks, so they're going to Nick Mullins again. So we're going to the Nick Mullins project at the 49ers. So
they have no choice, but
if they can stay anywhere near close to those three other teams in that division, then more power to them. But I think this could be these two injuries, especially being in the same game, it could just absolutely be the death knell for their season. You know, them, even them being 4-4 at the moment and still right in the mix, I just can't see them staying in the race.
I haven't looked at their upcoming run, but the last few games haven't been against world war beaters anyway. I know they've lost a couple, but I think they got too many injuries. I think their season was already done. You know, once Bosa went down, to be completely honest. So, and they've got no wide receiving core. Like they've traditionally haven't had a wide receiving core. So,
they've just been decimated everywhere. You know, running backs, they've got nobody to throw to at the moment. It's the guys coming up are coming off the practice squad. So, San Francisco have obviously got the Thursday or the Friday morning game here for us against the Packers. That's in California. That's in San Francisco. Then their next two games after that, they travel to New Orleans and then they travel to LA to play the Rams. So, and then they host the Buffalo Bills. So the next 4 weeks, that's tough. They've got the football team, and then the Dallas Cowboys. So look, they're in with these two injuries. They're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, I think and their defense is pretty decimated too. So, unfortunately they're in massive trouble. I guess we'll move on then quickly to our studs and duds. I mean, we already touched on it. Well, we touched on more of the studs, so we can rip through.
Consensus, I think.
The stud we can rip through. It's Dalvin Cook. You know. The guy got four touchdowns, 163 yards, caught two out of three targets. That was 63 yards. So he topped every receiving and rushing. He was just literally the word unstoppable, shouldn't get used, but he was unstoppable.
He was unstoppable. Literally. Look, he took all the pressure. He took all the pressure off Kirk Cousins. Like Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, they're a little bit of a hole at the moment.
Yeah.
And for him to sort of take the pressure off them, just a teeny bit, and they're 2-5. Even the Lions are 3-4, but they're not totally out of it at the moment. I think the Bears will probably come crashing down to earth sooner rather than later.
Minnesota's got to
pounce. So do the Lions in that division. They both have to pounce.
You have no faith in the Bears at all, do you?
Absolutely not.
Well, hey, Nick Foles, he did it for Philly. Albeit in the final series, but he still did it.
That's right. They just looked. Oh man, they look so inept offensively.
Defense. Khalil Mack is just a monster. So if he can still get as many sacks as he's been getting, they still have huge chance. Khalil Mack.
The funny thing was, in that Saints game as well, you didn't really hear Khalil Mack's name a lot. Like he was held in check really well. It was Roquan Smith that was doing all the damage at linebacker, for the Saints. Like giving the offensive line for New Orleans a lot of trouble. Like, he's a good player. And, for them to have two unbelievable linebackers like that, it makes them tough. But, they just stink up the joint offensively a lot. It's unreal.
As long as Allen Robinson's going okay, I think – I think Montgomery needs to fire a bit more, to be completely honest.
Well, they haven't been able to get the rush game going at all until this game. Like, this is one of their better rushing performances.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's
like,
exactly right.
They just have not been able to get the rush game going at all. Like, you look at what Detroit dished up this week in the run game. 27 total rush yards against Indianapolis.
Oh, that defense is awesome.
That's crazy.
Their third pick or first round third pick was another defensive player. I think it was a cornerback, Okuda or something, wasn't it? I believe.
For Detroit, yeah. Jeffrey Okuda, yeah.
Yeah, their defense is why they're still in the games. I mean, I think Stafford's just got COVID too, so I don't know how they're going to go.
I think Chase Daniels. I think I heard today. I'm pretty sure it's Chase Daniels is their backup.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, it could be worse. They could be going back to Jeff Driscoll like they did last year.
I thought you were going to say like we could go back to Ben DiNucci, but we're not talking about the Cowboys today. They don't even know who they're starting with. They have no idea who they're starting with, but that's...
The Cowboys just... Oh, that was for a feature game on Sunday night.
And we were most of us were watching it.
Oh, my God, that was just... That was horrific. That was tough to watch. Yeah. That was really tough to watch that game. And it's just funny, like, you know, they're probably... Like, I love listening to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, but I love listening to Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the Sunday night games. It's just... I don't know, they're terrific, but it just I don't know what to say about that game. Like, it was just Carson Wentz trying to play a little bit of hero ball again. Like, he can't help himself in trying to play that way, and against a horrendous defense like Dallas has been this year, like they still made Carson Wentz look ordinary. Like, how does that happen?
They're a shit show. I mean, there's no other way. You know, we are probably going to get a top five pick this year, which will be just extremely interesting to see what happens with that pick. But anyway,
he couldn't stop fumbling the ball. It was unreal. Like, Dallas defense to do what they did to Carson Wentz, you're just like, man, what is that offensive line like in Philadelphia?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. No, that's true. Our dad of the week, I think we're both right on this. Jarvan Wims, our dad of the week.
Yeah, look, Javon Wims, like it
Javon,
just
sorry, yeah,
it's just an absolute brain snap. And like we said before, look, Gardner Jones is renowned for being a little bit of a bit of a trash talker and, you know, probably biting off a little bit more than he can chew. That was one of the he was the reason why Michael Thomas was suspended a few weeks ago, because he was the guy that Michael Thomas punched. So he's the guy. So he's a little bit of an instigator. And earlier in that sort of, you know, little or before Wims lost his mind, he sort of had his finger right in the face of Allen Robinson, you know, in his face.
It was Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller. He had his eye.
He had his
finger right in his face mask.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of BS sort of coming out that, oh, he spat towards me and everything. It's just like, no, that didn't happen. I just thought he might have said something in passing, because Wims just, his head was just like an eagle on a swivel. And just went straight for him, and just started lighting him up. He's like, what is he doing?
He took two right hooks at a helmet, and I don't get why why these players have to punch at a helmet. You're gonna break your hand. Like, it's a helmet. Why punch a helmet? So that's the first bit. And he hits it the third time with his left hand, and then Garner Johnson just appears confused. He's like, why are you taking swings at me?
Yeah, it's just like,
then
yeah,
obviously
well,
then everybody
on?
Came in. It was just, yeah, it, and it happened on, I think someone was saying, yeah, no, I'm just looking at it now. That even during that, it wasn't Sean Payton was trash talking Tariq Cohen as well during that. So
Sean
Payton's
never short of a word on the sideline.
Yeah, it. But I don't. Yeah, I mean, it was a dumb play. He clearly, obviously, got ejected. I don't know why you hit a helmet. I mean, how dumb are you? Sorry.
2-game suspension.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, hey,
it's just costing his team all facets. Like, you know, that's what we said. You know, as soon as they calmed everything down, the very next play that Nick Foles did was throw an interception. So he's just ruined his team's chances in that game, in which Chicago had an unbelievable chance to beat the Saints, and it just didn't happen.
I'm re-looking at it. So it looks like he's yanked a chain off or something in that first play, in that first sort of thing when he's come up to him. And then he sort of hit him the first time, and Garner Johnson's going, what the hell is going on? Like, why are you hitting me? And then
why are they wearing chains on the field? Oh, man. Why? You wear a chain on the field. You absolutely, if it gets ripped off or people want to attack it like that, then that's part of the game. Fair game.
He throws a punt and then steps back like waiting for him to throw something. He just steps back just like in a stance. And the gun is like, what the hell's going on? Like, yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get chains.
The whole like all jury, like, you know, Zeke wearing 5,000 nose rings. I just, you know, I know you've got a face mask covering you. I know you have a helmet on, but still, there's still every chance you can get hit with that nose ring.
Alvin Kamara's got a bull ring thing through his nose.
Like, yeah, they both do. Yeah, you're correct there. Yeah. I don't get it, but we're not. The chain doesn't make sense.
Young,
or,
it's a young person what was, thing.
What was the was it the chain or was the thing when it was a watch? Yeah, it was a watch for OBJ when someone wrecked his $900,000 watch or whatever he spent.
Oh, that's right. It was his watch. Yeah. It was a watch. I think it was a watch.
Yeah, it was a watch. Why wear jewelry at a game? I don't get it. I think it was like a $90,000 watch or something. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, don't wear it.
Yeah, no.
Like, how hard is it to take it off and put it in your bag in the locker room? Do they not trust their teammates that somebody's going to steal it?
So you've got to
wear it out in the field.
And I've clearly looked at practice squads, practice sessions. Not many of these people wear chains when they practice, so...
No, exactly. It's all about the bling on Sunday.
maybe. That's a great way to finish it. Well, that'll do this week for NFL week, week 8. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod, where, I mean, there's plenty of things going on Twitter at the moment. Clearly not just our Final Play podcast, but we're definitely there. Maybe if we just retweet.
Check us out. Twitter's been a bit of a tire fire at the moment with a lot of things that's going on in the US. But
Maybe we should just tweet him and just to see like if anyone sort of catches on, we might get 1,000 likes just for like tweeting him out. Saying what up?
Check us out at Real Donald Trump.
check out this podcast and that's it. Don't say anything else at Donald Trump. Also on Facebook, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see when we put the post up there, you'll see all the links to get the podcast, which is Spotify, Podbean, SoundCloud, and you won't see this on there, but you can also check out gimco.com.au.
Yeah, check us out on those platforms. You know, give us a like, give us a follow. So
we're up there. Yeah,
check us out.
112. I think we're up to 119. So we're slowly getting there. We're clearly doing all right. Up our day jobs. No, 111. Someone's disliked us. Wish we could find out who that is just to call them out. I don't remember seeing 111, but I'm not going to call someone out. Clearly, I'm not doing that. Sorry. I'd love to see it, mate. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, my name's Jason Bling Bling Smith. Bling Bling Blang.
Oh, bling bling on a Sunday. That's what it's all about. Yeah, get your face on national TV and check out your $24,000 watch.
That sounds like an Ice Cube song. Bling bling on a Sunday. Should pitch it to him. Bling bling on a Sunday.
Bling bling on a Sunday. You hit by Ice Cube.
Yeah, well, Well, we could pitch it to him.
All right, my name's Miles. Bring on the Bucks next week, Plum. Bring him on.
Yeah, we'll see. If Thomas is there, yeah, we'll see.
It'll be Tom Brady. He's got nothing.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
See ya. Shout out to Denver, 24-3 comeback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually. Yeah, we did sort of skip over that. Yeah, what was that? What was that before we finished
up? And a help out, too, by the Chargers on a just a ridiculous pass interference call, you know, with next to no time left, and then with the clock ticking over zero, and Drew Lock finding KJ Hamler for the touchdown with zero left on the clock. Unbelievable finish.
Yeah. We skipped over that game. Sorry. Yeah, but 20-3 comeback. That was huge.
Yeah, 24-3 down. Like unreal, Denver.
Yeah.
Didn't see that too many. Just a lot of these games just did not see those results coming. Like, you know what I mean? I reckon there was a good four. I reckon good four upsets, maybe five upsets this week.
So not good for Maltese this week, in other words.
Oh, not good for tipping this week. Oof.
Yeah.
Stunk it up this week. Good God.
Nah, not in that. I got too many leagues to worry about for that bad boy.
Takes 5 seconds to do tipping.
Nah, the other ones are money. These are worth money, so. All right, see everyone.
See ya.